Hi everybody, I am now unmuted and it's wonderful to be with you. I think we've got about 20 minutes together and you might not like the subject I've chosen. It can be summed up in one word, isolation. How about that? And of course we're living in a very unusual time. People are dying. We're locked up in our houses. We're disorientated. We're in unfamiliar circumstances. And for quite a time, I've been interested in some of the characters in the Bible and their enforced isolation. So we're going to look at one or two Bible characters and observe them in their isolation. And before we do, I just would say two things. One is God has a big picture of his great purposes of salvation run through the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. And he also has an interest in the small picture of your life and mine, and the two are linked. Each one of us are engaged in the big picture of God's eternal purposes of salvation and for the world, and we're also very much engaged with our own personal life, and God is totally engaged with us in our personal lives. So the two are linked together. And this is the background to where we're coming to. First person we're going to look at is Noah. And his introduction is, as you know, these are the generations. This is Genesis 6 verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So we have two pieces of very important information. First one, he lived righteously in the midst of a world of unrighteousness. He was the last remaining man of righteousness on the earth. Very last and only person who was righteous. And he also walked with God. So he had an experimental living relationship with the Lord. So that's our introduction. And we read that God instructed him to build an ark. Ark had never been built before on dry land or even on wet land. There had never been an ark before. It's a huge, long, rectangular box. No windows, just slats right at the top, a hatch on the top without a window in it. And for 100 years, he built and preached, sawed, nailed. For 100 years, he preached on righteousness and judgment without one person responding to his message of judgment. And you know the story well. We learned it in our Sunday school days, how the animals suddenly converge on the ark in total synchronization. And in they go, and God invites Noah inside, and the door is shut. Now, here we come to our point of isolation. God shuts the door tight shut. And for 40 years, the firmament above is opened up. Those trillions of gallons of water that were put there in six-day creation, and the underground reservoirs of the same amazing volume of water. The earth's crust was broken up. The skies were opened. And that box was deluged from above and beneath. Now, I can't begin to imagine how horrific that must have been for Noah and his family and managing the animals. Now, I see the big picture, but I don't know We can ask the questions, but we don't know what he went through and what he went through with his family. We know that he was in that place of dark, semi-darkness and isolation for 1 year, exactly the day he came out and offered sacrifice was 360 days, a lunar year. And 40 years, the ark was pounded, beaten, and then included in that was 150 days. After 150 days, it settled on Mount Ararat. Therefore, for 6 months, they waited for the renewing of the earth, for the receding of the waters into the sodden ground. And then, after that period of 1 year, they came out into the blistering sunshine, the glory of God's renewed creation, and they offered sacrifices to God. Now I leave you to reflect on what that man endured, and if he was a changed person, I do not know. And then another character I want to introduce to you is a man in prison whose name is Joseph, a man of impeccable character. And you know the story, you know his family background. He finds himself in prison. And we read in Psalm 105 these words: Joseph, who was sold as a slave, they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. And one thing that I find in every example I can pinpoint in Scripture is that God instructed these saints of the Old Testament to come aside and to be with him in isolation. It just shows that God sometimes chooses to work in that manner and not always by activity. And Joseph had a lot of personal stuff to handle, rejection and all the rest, injustice and so on. But it says the word of the God really, really, really tested this man, and he endured. Now, I've got a little quote from Oswald Chambers here, and it's not referring to Joseph, it's referring to Moses. He writes, Moses endured. And it would be helpful to pinpoint some of the attributes and qualities that we see in these men in their isolation. Moses endured, not because of his devotion to his principles of what was right, nor because of his sense of duty to God, but because he had a vision of God. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, isn't that wonderful? His vision that enabled him to endure was his vision of the invisible. That's Hebrews 11:27, of course. And Hebrews identifies a number of qualities of these Old Testament men and women who endured, and the qualities that they revealed in their lives. Now, I'm going to go quickly, and this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture, looking at Moses. And if you go to Exodus 33 and 34, 33 refers to Moses' first period on the mountain with God. He had two periods, 40 days each. alone with God in the mountain that was burning, with fire and enwrapped in smoke and so on. The first period was interrupted by the episode of the golden calf when Moses had to descend from the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, he entered into a period of intercessory prayer, seeking God that his angel would go with them in the days ahead, would fight for them and lead them. And at the end of that successful prayer of intercession, he then asks to see the glory of God. Please show me your glory. And then he goes up the mountain again. And I think one of the things that strikes me about Moses' time with God is that it awakens in him such a strong desire to know God intimately. And that is something that we share, isn't it, together? Our longings, our strong desires, to see God, to know him more intimately. And he goes up the mountain and God answers his prayer. And he sees God retreating in the distance. But God reveals his character to him and speaks his amazing name, Lord. That name went through him over and over again, like great waves of the ocean. And God filled him and filled him. His name resonated throughout his being. Must have been an amazing experience. When he came down after that second period, we read that his face shone with God's glory. And this is an opportunity we have to really spend time with God, isn't it? Not in a somber way, but in a joyous way to be renewed and refreshed and to love him more and better than we have done before. And I'm racing here. I think just a little word about Elijah. And we could, I better give you a little summary because we need to finish in a moment. You can look very carefully at Elijah's life at that period of time. Early on, he pronounced judgment that there'd be 3 years without rain. And then God immediately says to him, look, Elijah, go and hide yourself by the river Cherith. And you remember how the ravens came at morning and night with bread and meat. But Elijah was watching the river because every day its flow reduced, came a trickle until one day there was no water left. And he had to find God in a new way of supply and provision. And, you know, maybe this is a time when God's brought everything to a halt, where we can review our lives afresh and put our priorities where they should be. Now, I need to close in a moment, but just let me say this. An important question is how we occupy ourselves in isolation. I have no idea how Elijah did nothing for 3 years. Of course, that's not true. He must have wandered the mountains, the hills, the valleys. He must have learned how to sing, to shout, to be quiet, learned how to be with God and spend time with him in innovative ways, new ways, but finding the real, genuine presence of God for himself. And what are you going to do for your health, for your soul? Pick up your favorite biographies. Read through the Bible. Start writing about what you are reading. Read aloud. Sing. Shout. Walk. Worship. Speak. Sing in tongues. Go for a walk. Call an old friend from the past. I've had two calls this week from old friends who've looked me up. Old friends from the past. Pray about the future. Pray for the missionaries. Fill up your big empty space profitably. And God bless you. Amen.